Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Get in the freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
I don't read the internet, guys.
Take the bull by the hands.
On Seattle Sports.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
And Brooke Wire, you are. And Brooke, you are.
Styled by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Well, today's just been flying by. It is nice, even though the Mariners didn't have a great weekend, to have stuff to see and react to and talk about rather than just the constant, okay, here's what's going, might happen, et cetera. Right. Isn't it nice to just have, like, reaction?
Yes. It's great. It is wonderful. It is what baseball provides on a nightly basis.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, you know, just that rhythm of it, and you get into that routine of it, and yeah, seven straight games and 7 days to begin the year and three good ones here with Cleveland.
And I do like, I mean, I got to tell you, of all the things that have sort of improved with technology, Brock, one of them is the ability to like just throw the game on your phone and actually watch it. Yep. So like Friday night, watched X-Men 2, X2 with the kids. And I'm like, just got the phone going, just kind of watching what's going on, right? Then Saturday night, went out to dinner. Just kind of peeking at the phone while we're waiting for the table, and it does make the world a little bit of a better place. All right, it is April, which means it is draft month, which means we are getting closer and closer. Brock is going through some of the prospects from college that he likes, that he think would be a good fit, and today he's got another one from one of his favorite places.
The Seattle Seahawks select.
This is Brock Heward's draft profile.
You want traits? Check. You want a vocal leader? Check.
At the end of the day, you have to say, okay, what's best for the organization?
Can you make people around you better? And can you bring people together?
Every day at 9 a.m. leading up to the draft.
And today I'm dipping right back into that tight end room. There's going to be more tight ends in this top 20 than I've ever had. And they're kind of hybrid players, too. They're not all Y tight ends, inline tight ends. They're not all move H tight ends. Some of them have a fullback in their background, like my guy today, and it is Ben Sinnott, a fullback tight end out of Kansas State University. You're right. I go back to the well with these programs many times. Utah, Kansas State, Penn State I put on that list. Why? Well, there's a whole bunch of foundation that's been built in those places. And even though Bill Snyder's not at Kansas State anymore, their new coach certainly over the last 4 or 5 years runs a program really, really similarly, has kind of the same roots, is just kind of gets the small town, gets Manhattan, Kansas, gets kind of players like Ben Sinnott, who's from Waterloo, Iowa, who was not a 5-star recruit, not a 4-star recruit, actually, I think originally committed to South Dakota before K-State came in late. And we're like, hold on a second, who is that kid? Who is that raw talent that is 6'4" and about 210 pounds, but jumps out of the gym? It's got a frame that we can put weight on, that we can develop. Why is he going to South Dakota? Why don't you decommit there and come be a Wildcat at Kansas State? And that's exactly what Ben Sinnott did. And you know what, at the combine, you know what he was? He was 6'4" and he was 250 pounds. Because that's what developmental programs do. Utah's got the same story. K-State's got the same story. Many of these places do. Iowa State has that story. So I'll probably add that program as another one of my favorites that just has to develop. So Ben Sinnott goes to the combine. He's 6'4", he's 250. He runs 4.68 with a 1.59.10. That's remarkable. He broad jumps 10.6. That's remarkable. And he vertical jumps 40 inches. 40-inch vertical jump at 6'4", 250. Wow. That's called explosive dynamic power. Played a little bit as a freshman. I remember having their games. Remember watching this kid a little bit on tape. I'm like, man, he is smooth. Asking the offensive coordinator, Colin Klein, good friend of mine, like, yeah, we're just trying to figure out how to use him. Because he's kind of a jack of all trades, master of none as a freshman. Did a little bit more as a junior or as a sophomore, started to touch the ball. And then this year, all he did was catch it 48 times, 670 yards, and 6 touchdowns. Over 10 touchdowns in his career there at Kansas State. So when the ball was in his hands, it wasn't as if you didn't feel that athleticism. You did. And I like guys like that. Reminds me a little bit, not build-wise, because Kyle Juszczyk was 6'1" and is 6'1" when he came out of school. But similarly, he was 248 pounds as a fourth-round pick out of Harvard. This is a fourth-round pick. Joel Klatt and I were talking. The producer for this UFL produces the NFL draft, works with Joel Klatt. Great guy. His name's T-Man. And T-Man and Joel and I were talking over dinner. I'm like, man, you guys are going to have a fun draft. And Joel's like, this is going to be my favorite draft in a long time. The drama throughout the first round. But he's like, bro, there are starters through the third round of this draft. Like, there's really, really good players are going to get drafted in the third round because so many quarterbacks are going to go and so many wide receivers are going to go and so many tackles are going to go. And then when you get to linebackers and tight ends and H-backs and these different safeties, like, there's really good players. And Ben Sinnott's on that list for me. You know what I want for Mike McDonald? And you know what I want for Ryan Grubb? I want great, talented, athletic football players. And so do they. And you hear Schneider say it to Bob and Dave every week. Right, I don't necessarily need the most physical freak. I don't need the guy with like the highest upside necessarily. I want just really, really talented, physically gifted football players. Ben Sinnott's on that list. And you know what else I'd love for the first time in, I don't know, 20 years?
A fullback?
A fullback. Mm. They had it at Baltimore. Mike McDonald had it at Michigan. He's had it in the places he's been. I think of the great Jim Harbaugh telling me a story about Bo Schembechler when Jim took the Stanford job and Bo said to him, Jim, are you going to have a tight end? Yes. Hand on the ground. Yes. Are you going to have a fullback? Yes. Hand on the ground. Yes. Then you'll be just fine. And he was just fine, and he's been just fine. And so there's a couple of these guys. Tip Ryman's another one that I put on that Ben Sinnott, 250, 260, physical run right through that wall. What do you want me to do? I can do it. And give me that kind of player, because Kyle Juszczyk has been pretty darn good, like 8 Pro Bowls there in San Francisco. As a fourth-round pick, that's probably where this guy will end up. Wouldn't mind seeing him as a Seattle Seahawk.
All right, that's Brock's draft profile for the day. It's interesting, though, one thing that stands out from that conversation, in addition to the player, is that comment about, hey, they're going to be starters into the third round.
Yes.
And knowing that the Seahawks are, you know, down a second-round pick and now don't have that second, third-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that's kind of the cutoff to it, I can't help but be kind of bummed out that they're just I mentioned this on Friday, you weren't in, but I was just kind of going through our friend Matt Miller did a 7-round mock, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to try to talk to Matt maybe on Wednesday. I've been going back and forth with him, just looking for a good time to catch up with him. And when you read through the 7-round mock,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, okay, Seahawks at 16, I think he had them taking Fautano, great. It is a long way
to the top if you're going to rock and roll, Salk.
Yeah.
You say that all the time.
It is a long way to the third round, and then only having one pick there, and then you go to the fourth. You're like, man, you just end up with two guys out of the top three rounds here. Feels like just not enough.
It's going to be such a conundrum if you're sitting in there and there is a guy they love. Right, if they're sitting in there and there's simply a guy that they absolutely love and he's going to be a starter and he's going to be a difference maker, I think Fautano is going to go before 16. I mm-hmm. really do. But let's just use him. And obviously Grubb and Huff know him inside and out. You get another guy that from day one is you implant your technique, your fundamentals. Sure. I mean, you're just starting at, you know, not ground zero with a rookie. You're starting like, yep, he's a vet and he's going to come right in here and he's so physically gifted. And oh my gosh. He's sitting there actually for you at 16. When all along your plan is, we got to add, we got to add, we got to trade down, we got to add.
Well, John was asked about this a little bit. So let me play this for you. It's from Wyman and Bob on Friday. They asked John if they have enough picks to fill the needs that they have.
Yeah, we're going to be, you know, bringing a couple veteran offensive linemen through as, you know, this second phase of free agency. And then comparing that to what the draft looks like in anytime you're just drafting for a need, you know, that is a need on our team right now. I think it's fairly obvious. But we like some of the young guys, O'Neal, McClendon, Curtis. I mean, there's
just talking about the O-line there, and so they have to follow up.
But also then, what does the draft look like? And then what are the different levels? What are the cutoffs? And, you know, how far do you push to go get a guy or to fall back to get into another group of player where there may be three or four guys as compared mm-hmm. to the talent level at one specific player or prospect. So we'll be constantly evaluating that over the next 4 weeks here.
So how does Lincoln Tomlinson compare to a fourth round guard? How does he compare to, as they project, to an Anthony Bradford who's going to be there in the third or fourth round, right? How much wear and tear does Lakin or some of these other vets have on their body? You know, what do they look like? How does that compare and contrast? Mm-hmm. That is the process over the next 3 weeks. There's no question about it. But the bigger question is, if there is someone there you love at 16 that you know can be a bona fide difference maker for you, can you and do you have to pass on that in order to get more volume and more good players?
Tough call.
That's going to be the call over the next 3 weeks preparing
for. All right, good stuff. Great profile again today. We do that every morning at 9 a.m. Leading up to the draft, we'll come back with everything you need to know, including the moment that should carry on moving forward. It's next on Brock and Salk.
Cantor Diamond is the only professional office for diamonds and diamond jewelry. Meet us in our professional Tacoma offices by appointment or globally by phone, email, Instagram at KANTOR Diamond. Truly the best diamond prices, bestdiamondprice.com.
Massive. The Power of Pop Culture is Seattle's Museum of Pop Culture's newest exhibition, featuring iconic artifacts from Batman, Barbie, and more. Make plans to visit Seattle's destination museum for film, fashion, music, and gaming. Tickets and info at mopop.org.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Mariners group outings are a great option for all kinds of events. School family nights, fundraisers, office parties, and more. It's as easy as choosing a game and gathering a group of 20 plus. Start planning your outing today at mariners.com/groups.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
There was good, there was bad, there was quite a bit actually in between this weekend at T-Mobile Park. The environment was great, crowd super into it, and they got a chance to see something you don't see every day on Saturday night. In fact, it was something that had not happened yet in Julio Rodriguez's career.
Game-winning run at third, and a pitch. Line drive, right center field, ball game, Julio Rodriguez gets it done, yes sir, and the Mariners win it, 4-3, Rojas scores, and that's your ball game.
That's a good call there from Dave Sims.
Yeah, you know what's interesting about that call? Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, no, it was a good call.
He's becoming one name guy, like Preki, like Ichiro. Right, like Griffey, like he's just becoming one name. He's just Julio. So it was almost weird to hear Rodriguez with that, like Julio. That's right, Rodriguez.
That's his last name. Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. I kind of thought the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Also, I'm glad that we're sort of not using J-Rod anymore locally.
Yeah, we
like the national folks are still kind of calling him J-Rod a little bit, and it's like, yeah, then clearly you don't know because here he's not J-Rod.
No,
here. He's Julio, and that was an awesome moment for him on Saturday. First of his career, Logan Gilbert, who started that game. Glad that Julio's on his side, as
he says. Was huge. So glad he's on our team. He helps out a lot. It's amazing what he can do every night, and he's so consistent, what he brings to the table on both sides. But be able to do that, finish it off strong, I think it says a lot about him and his maturity, especially early in the season.
Gosh, I'm still dumbfounded. That was his first.
Really?
I know we've played it a bunch of times, and I know I've heard it since Saturday, but and to your point, like you said, he delivered a huge home run versus Atlanta that then Gino got to finish it off. Like he's had huge moments and huge hits, but for his first time in a walk-off in over 2 years, that still surprises me.
Unfortunately, it led to not much the next day, is kind of right back to the struggling offense. I've mentioned this now a couple of times. Opening day, they scored 4 runs. Good. The next 3 games, when they weren't gifted a runner on second base to start the inning, which is still the dumbest thing in the world, they scored three total runs. One run in each of those three games in those nine innings.
Yeah.
That's problematic. And they're going to have to score
a lot
more.
Of zeros and a lot of strikeouts.
Yeah, and that's
like
been
the most in the league.
I know there's a lot of people focusing on the 45 strikeouts. Understand. We're going to come back to this here in a little bit. And I'm going to tell you, I'm focused more on the six walks and the lack
traffic,
of hits and the lack
right?
of runs.
Just traffic, just pressurizing that opponent.
You can strike out 45 times, but you better get on base during the other at-bats. And they weren't doing that at all.
It's where you and I will find common ground. We see it a little bit differently, but I think we both agree. You have to put pressure on your opponent.
Of course.
And whether that is with the power card in your back pocket that Teo and Gino did still have, or whether that is more contact and more runners and getting the speed and the athleticism you have on this roster on base, but you got to put that pressure. And they didn't feel, those Red Sox pitchers did not feel much of it over four
days. That's the negative side of it. But at the same time, to split a series when you didn't play very well is probably a good thing here long term. They were able to survive it. Scott knows, and he believes they'll play better than this.
And again, it's a little frustrating for the guys and coaches. You feel really good about where we're at coming out of spring training. I say all that. We went 2-2. We're okay. Okay? And I don't want to read too much into it or get too high, too low. We went 2-2, and the guys at the top of our lineup are really good major league hitters. Then they're off to a slow start. But get back after tomorrow.
They will certainly do that. Cleveland will be in town for the first of three. Emerson Hancock on the hill.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
All right, let's see. Men's Final Four is going to be UConn, Purdue, Alabama, and NC State. A couple of one seeds, a four seed, and the number 11 seeded Wolfpack. Brock, who you got?
UConn. UConn's won by double digits in every tournament game for the last 2 years. No one's close. They went on a 30-0 run over Illinois. 30-0. Like, they are just built differently. They are the deepest. They're the best. And I picked them before the tournament began. And if they win and Purdue wins, yours truly wins.
Wow. You're going to win our pool?
I'm going to win the tournament office pool if UConn wins and Purdue just... Wow. Yep. Purdue's just got to win.
I'm sure that you'll handle that.
With great grace, class, you know, win, say little. Lose, say little. Win, yeah, say less.
That seems like
that's,
you.
That's my whole motto.
That sounds like the way that will, yes, will end if it does go that way. How about the women? LSU and Iowa this afternoon, 4:15 start. This is going to be like one for the ages, right?
This has it all. This has rematch. This has drama. This has star power. This has... coaches, it's got everything. Heroes, villains, whatever way you want to look at it, whoever you're rooting for, and even a local girl right over there from Eastern Washington, Haley Van Lith, point guard now for LSU.
Yeah, that should be really, really fun. Caitlin Clark, obviously going to be in the spotlight wherever she goes. She's psyched to get a little rematch attempt.
I think we're excited. I think, you know, anytime you have a chance to go up against somebody you lost to, it brings a little more energy, but at this point in the tournament, every single team is good, whether you're playing West Virginia, whether you're playing Colorado, whether you're playing LSU. You prep the exact same way. You come in with the same exact mindset. And I think overall it's just going to be a really great game for women's basketball, and they're really solid 1-5.
Well, and all of those teams come in gunning for her, that's for sure. South Carolina and USC and UConn. There's a lot of good teams left, so it should be a fun finish for the women.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Kraken lose 3-0 this weekend. Shane Wright, though, called up, so he can play in a total of 6 of the last 9 games without affecting his contract status. So hopefully we'll get a chance to see this kid do something. I would have liked to have seen him up long ago, but kind of where we're at.
Very curious how this team finishes, man. It was a bummer March. It eliminated them, really. Maybe statistically they're still not with 9 games to go, but they virtually are. And, I wonder for Hextall in year number 3, we've talked about this before, and Todd Leiwicki, and just one of the best management crews, given a lot
Ron
of resources.
Well.
Ron Francis, a lot of opportunities. Where does this thing go moving forward?
All right, that's everything you need to know. 7:15 every hour here in the Brock and Salk Show. I am a little proud of myself. I'm not going to lie, Brock.
Yeah?
I'm going to pat myself on the back. Uh-huh. Last year, I told you guys that I wanted to watch more women's college basketball, that I was super into the Final Four and how all that went. And I was like, please remind me next year, right? More you did. You reminded me. You say, hey, don't forget. You said you wanted to watch more of it. I did this year. I mean, I didn't watch every game. I didn't become like a super fan. But I watched a fair amount, more than I had really ever, certainly in the women's game, and more than I have watched basketball in a decade plus, probably, in general. And I loved it. I totally got into it. I really enjoyed it. Yep. Paid off.
Yep. The women's game, man, is just is grown by leaps and bounds. You just watch the level of play, the level of shooting, the dynamic athleticism. You just watch all of it. And mm-hmm. it is just a different product than it was even 10, 20 years ago. And yeah, and then you throw in all the, I mean, it's almost like a WWE tonight. I mean, with Iowa and LSU, you it's could crazy. Just start to write all of these different remarkable storylines. Kim Mulkey's at the center of it. Her piece in the Washington Post came out. She is one heck of a character. Caitlin's one heck of a character. Angel Reese is one heck of a character.
Right.
Right. I mean, just loaded with awesome storylines.
All right. Well, while that's going on, the Mariners had an up and down weekend. And yet, Brock, it's hard not to play the comparison game.
Oh.
We're going to do that next on Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle.
Massive. The Power of Pop Culture is Seattle's Museum of Pop Culture's newest exhibition, featuring iconic artifacts from artists Beyonce, Nirvana, and more. Planning a trip to Washington? Make sure to include MoPop in your itinerary. Tickets and info at MoPop.org.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Cantor Diamond, truly the best diamond prices, saving you big on your next special diamond. By appointment in our Tacoma showroom or globally by phone or email. CantorDiamond.com or on Instagram at KANTOR Diamond.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com. O'Brien.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sports app.
I don't really want to do this. I got to be clear ahead of time. This isn't something I want to do, but it's something that in many ways I feel compelled to do.
How many people out there do it?
Everybody does it. And no, if they don't do it, they're lying.
I asked Maura. She doesn't do it.
Maura doesn't do it?
Nope. I asked Fresh.
Some people say they don't do it.
I asked Fresh. She doesn't do it.
Really?
They don't get on Facebook and look at their exes. They don't do it.
Huh.
They don't do it.
I mean, most people do it. I mean, whether they say they do or not, I mean, it's okay to do it. It doesn't make you a bad
person. They don't go on
social media.
They don't go on Facebook. They don't look at their exes, see what's happened in their past. They have no concern for that. So.
Well, I mean, Fresh is married with a kid for a long time now. He's been married. So, like, I think you should not be looking up your exes at that point.
But what about, like, immediately afterwards, like in the weeks after you've broken up? You have to look a little bit, both at your exes and at, like, some of the roads not traveled down.
You have to see if they had a glow up.
Yeah, like somebody you met, and you're like, would that work?
What do you think the percentage is, truthfully, of our audience? What do you think of those listening right now? What do you think the truthful, honest percentage is of those that when they've got a breakup, they've got someone they've loved, someone they've admired? Yeah.
Well, if we're talking right after, I was an FBI investigator because I was cheated on and lied to. So I did a lot of investigating.
Maura,
if you want me
best.
To be honest about that, then no, yes. Now do I check? No.
Very honest. That was a lot of honesty right there.
Full transparency.
Brutal honesty, full transparency.
That's what we are. I mean, we're a full transparency show. FTS, it's what we do.
I have 1, 2, 3, 4 exes plus 2 roads that we didn't travel down that I can't help but look at. And unfortunately, I mean, you couldn't write this. While the Mariners struggled as they did over the week, again, 2-2. They didn't, like, they're not terrible. Their pitching did what it was supposed to do.
They were fine.
But, you know, the bats were
tired.
Problematic. When I give you the stats for these 6 players, you're just going to laugh.
Okay.
We'll start with the most obvious.
All right.
Jared Kelnick. He's not played in each of the games because he's being platooned in Atlanta. But in the games he's played in, he has 7 at-bats and 5 hits. He's hitting .714. This is just a slice of life.
I think he had 2 hits and 40 at-bats in spring training.
I know.
Well, I mean, he was so bad they had to bring Adam Duvall's corpse right. from free agency, from the streets. They had to sign him.
He's 5 of 7. He's hitting .714. He scored 2 runs. He's driven in 2. He's got an on-base percentage of .750, a slugging percentage of .857, and an OPS of 1,600, which makes his OPS plus, remember, 100 is average, .320. Mm. He's the best player in baseball.
Did you see his catch in the gap as well?
Yeah, really nice play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's one. That's okay. One X. Jared Kelnick doing very well.
Not surprising. He's young. He's dynamic. He's hot. He's all those things. Okay.
Let's check next. Eugenio Suarez next because he's been one of the lifebloods of this team for the last few years.
Goodbye.
Gino's got 14 at-bats on the year.
Uh-huh.
6 hits, a home run. He's hitting .429. Uh-huh. With 4 runs driven in, he scored 3 more. His OPS is 1,080. Mm. And through those games, Brock, he has a total of a few strikeouts, but not what you would have expected, right? Remember, this is a guy who led the league with 214 strikeouts last year.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 2.
He got 2.
2 in 4 games.
Now, he did have the advantage of the Rockies.
It's true.
I mean, they're horrendous.
Absolutely. As again,
horrendous.
This is just a little comic relief slice in time.
The Rockies don't get to play in that win 60, lose 60, the other 40. They are not going to win 60. They are horrendous.
Are we not to this point yet?
I don't like this game anymore.
Yeah, it's not a fun game.
I don't want to play this game.
Ooh, I like this.
You want to play some Sinead?
Oh, I like
Well, Brock loves to cry. We figured this out. So, Brock, if you feel like letting some fly today and being vulnerable again.
Barnsey, you left the room. You don't check on your exes, do you?
No. I don't really have any enemy exes, though.
Betsy, check on her exes?
I don't know.
I've never seen her. How would I know what she does?
You want to ask her?
We see each other once a month.
Yeah. Yeah, text her. Text her and say, hey, Brock's curious. He just asked on the air. Do you check on your ex?
She could be dating 5 other people. Justin would have no idea.
She's driving to Olympia right now. We'll find out.
You think G checks on his exes?
No. Do I think G's many exes check on him? Different question. Brock, how about your friend, Teo? I know you're so concerned with his strikeouts. They bother you. And he's had a bunch of them this year. Don't worry about it. And in true Teo fashion, he's already leading the National League with 12 strikeouts. Although, to be fair, he's played 2 extra games because of the two that they played in Korea.
Right.
But when he's not striking out, he does have 3 home runs already. He's hitting .250, but with an on-base percentage of .308, a slugging of .708, which makes his OPS over 1,000, Brock. Teoscar Hernandez has been a hero so far for the Dodgers. He's been great. Would you like to go check Jose Caballero and see how Jose's doing on this season?
I saw that he
season.
Got in a fight. Did
he
you see
did
that?
Start another fight. Uh-huh. Yeah, bench is cleared, and that'll be a conversation for Jose. But he's in Tampa, I'm sure you remember. He's had 13 at-bats so far this year. 5 hits. He's hitting .385.
That's great.
He's driven in 3. He scored 2 runs. He stole a bag and has an OPS of .862 so far.
All right.
So those are the 4 guys that you parted ways with. It's unbelievable. Like, again, you couldn't write this. How about 2 guys that we talked about in terms of the acquisition phase of the offseason?
Sure.
How's Juan Soto doing with New York taking on Houston and their pitching staff for the first few games of the year?
Yeah.
Well, Brock, he's 9 of 17 with a home run. He's hitting .529 with an on-base percentage of .600. He's slugging .765, which puts his OPS at .1365.
Sure.
And his OPS plus, remember, 100 is average, .289.
Oh, okay.
Off the charts for Juan Soto and his start,
Yep.
in
start
a Yankee uniform.
All right. Okay.
I don't like this game.
You want one more?
No, I want more Sinead. Give me that Sinead.
I know you probably want to know what's going on with Matt Chapman, who we talked about at third base, right? Stellar defensive player, but how's his bat these days?
Oh,
does he
done.
Still
it's
have
cooked.
It?
It's cooked. It's slow. He's got nothing left in the
Well,
tank.
He's not hitting for a tremendous average, but it's not bad. He's 5 of 18, so he's hitting .278 so far this year. He does have 2 home runs already.
Oh,
he's scored 4. He's driven in 6 and has an OPS of .944 playing for the Giants. There's a little comparison. Thank you, Sinead.
Nothing.
Is it too close to Easter to play Sinead O'Connor?
Mike.
Oh, that was a note.
It took me a second.
Yeah.
Thanks, Justin. I got you. This is a totally unfair thing. It honestly is. And I want to stress
that.
I shouldn't do this because it's dumb. These teams have played four games. The numbers mean zero.
Mm-hmm.
And if it weren't so universal that all six of these players have come out and killed the ball, every one of them is an OPS of 850 or better, most of them over 1,000. And unfortunately, you just had a rough weekend, didn't really hit, and in three of the games had one run scored before you got to extra innings.
Yeah.
That's
none of them had to face that Red Sox spin, okay? Those guys were filthy over the weekend. They were pretty darn good. None of them had to face that, Salk. We did. We split. We're 2-2, and now those good old Guardians come in. I will say, I don't know if you saw this. I mean, it's a small little byline compared to that, and it's a super big bummer. So this is not any bit of good news. It's bad news all the way around because you hate to see people injured. But did you see that starter that was going to be an innings eater, 6th, 7th, 8th guy, D. Scalfano?
D. Scalfano.
Do you see that his elbow blew?
Yeah.
So bundle issue, he's going to be lost for the year. So, I mean, at least you didn't have that, weren't counting on that. So you were able to trade that away, and that's a bummer individually for him. But, yeah, we'll keep an eye, I'm sure, on some of these. And if we don't keep an eye on it, I'm going to guess maybe a few Mariners fans will keep an eye on some of these comings and goings of some of these other fellas that could be here.
But let's be clear. I mean, again, this is sort of a funny thing. This is not a serious take 4 games into the season. But it's something to watch, right? I mean, I'm a little invested in how Kelnick does.
The Gino one is probably of all of those, just because he's such a great third baseman, right? And he was such a great dude in so many ways. I mean, Jared had his struggles. Don't know if it would ever work here. Teo's just style. He's going to strike out 200 and some times. That's going to be a challenge. And in this ballpark, to hit in early is going to be a challenge. We'll see over the course with Chapman. I think part of me feels like, you know, the track record the last couple of years spoke volumes enough, and we'll see. Maybe we'll be wrong on that, and he'll have a bounce back in a great year. But of all of those, Cabby, that's fine, just because that third base defense was so good. He was so excellent and so dependable.
And kind of a team leader and everything else that goes with it. Yeah, I think that's one that is going to stick for a bunch of people. Jorge Soler has been terrible so far. That's a name that we discussed. The Mariners didn't go in that direction. He's 2 for his first 15. All right. Reese Hoskins, who we talked about, another guy who's already gotten into a fight. Did you see that?
I did.
Him and Jeff McNeil going at each other at second base over a hard slide.
Yep.
Reese Hoskins now with the Brewers. He started off the year 3 for 11 with a home run. He's driven in 4. But, you know, trying to read much into the first 4 games of the season, again, is probably not a very good plan.
Yep.
But these are things that are probably worth thinking about. And for the Mariners, I thought Scott handled his business really well yesterday. He didn't ignore what's happened. He didn't hide behind it and say it meant nothing. He said it was a problem. They struck out too much. 45 times in 4 games is an absurd number. He recognized the issues they're having with the curve and with the changeup and with anything that's not a 4-seam fastball.
And the sinker.
all of those things.
Anything that tended to move and not be straight was very problematic.
Because right now they're getting barely more than 1 out of 10 fastballs, and that's going to make it real hard to just sit and hunt the fastball. Mm-hmm. So they do have a little bit of an issue. On the other hand, it is just 4 games against one team and one pitching staff, and it doesn't necessarily need to be indicative of anything other than how those 4 games went. Scott, handling it, I think, very well.
You know, we're not getting a ton of fastballs. Until you start hitting the slow ball or the breaking pitch, the changeup, that's what they're going to keep throwing. So we know that. We know that. It is a long season, and everybody wants to point, the strikeouts, this and that. You know, we do have a good offensive team. The guys at the top of the lineup and getting pitched tough, and, you know, we're not doing much with it.
Yeah, Cal's off to a slow start. I mean, JP had the huge home run. He's off to a slow start. Julio had a big moment, off to a slow start. Jorge Polanco off to an uncharacteristically really slow start. And that's who Scott's going to point to first and foremost. That top of the lineup is going to get the party started.
And Garver hasn't played since the first game.
Correct.
Right? So all of a sudden you kick Garver out of the lineup, and then yesterday you take Cal out also for his, you know, regular day off, once a week day off, and a lot of them look the same. Right? I mean, yep. and most lineups don't when you take out two of their top five hitters. Like, that's not unique to them.
Yep. And you've got to. I mean, baseball is a game with all of this technology and all this data and all these numbers, man. You can't hide from anything. Right? Back in the day, 20, 30, 40 years ago, you did not have all of these advanced metrics that measured every single thing. And right now you do. And right now you can see that you're getting 89% spin, you know, the most in the league, and you're not handling that well. No, by the way, the guy that's walking in tonight, Stephen Vogt, I think was your bullpen catcher last year. Mm. So I think he's got a pretty good understanding of what you like to do and much of this personnel, and you're going to have to handle it. You're going to have to attack it. So their fifth starter today with Cleveland, because they too played four in a row like you did over the weekend. And then it will be Bieber and Castillo tomorrow night, which will be an awesome ace versus ace matchup. But, yep, hopefully they can make that adjustment. And as Scott said, the guys at the top got to set the table for the rest of them to get going. Level of concern meter, lastly, before we do a little ranking, level of concern meter with Mitch Garver? If he doesn't go tonight?
I'm going to hold off until we hear what happens tonight.
Okay.
If he doesn't play tonight, I mean, level of concern is going to be a whole year low. I mean, his back spasms, they come and go.
Yep.
But it's another new thing that hasn't been a problem for a guy who's had some injury concern is in his 30s.
Yep.
Want to thank whoever texted in that we should check Tyler O'Neill. Yep, that's another name I know mentioned a ton.
Watched him.
As somebody that I would like to see the Mariners get. And he's slugging 1,000 with a 1,500 in OPS. So there's certainly some guys we've talked about. Right. That are doing their thing. Yeah, he was pretty good for the Red Sox this weekend. Let's rank.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwarmfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Every morning at 9:45 on Brock and Salk.
Top 10 list. I'm not buying it.
Ranked.
All right, Brock, since you were talking about how you've been crying at American Idol and everything else, cried three times yesterday.
Yep.
I thought I would...
totally normal, by the way.
Yeah, totally normal.
Normal day.
I have a little bit of a different ranking today. We did rank cries just like a couple of weeks ago. But today I've got the five best and the five worst reasons to cry. The five best cries and the five worst
reasons.
Well, not reasons. Five best cries, five worst cries.
Okay?
You want the worst first?
Of course.
Or you want the best?
No, get
the bad news out of the way. All right.
You're the one that likes to save the best for last.
Yeah, we'll save the best for last. All right, number five. This one's not that bad. When a movie is sad or a TV show is sad and it gets you. It just like something hits you. Somebody dies on the movie screen
Frozen.
Or something like that. No, that's not bad. That's a different kind of cry.
You're watching American Idol.
No, that's not it either. No, I mean literally like something bad happens and you've become invested in a character like The Wire. Right.
Oh,
there's a bunch of moments in The Wire where somebody dies and you cry. Sure. You become invested. Well, that's a bad one.
Okay.
Number four, your team loses. Generally, this is a cry that is reserved for people under the age of 15.
Oh, man.
Right?
No.
Generally. Not always.
No, I cried when maybe I was around 15. Those Nuggets beat the Sonics. Dikembe Mutombo hugging the ball. Ugh.
Have you cried at a team loss as an adult?
Yes.
I think I teared up pretty good at the Super Bowl.
Yes.
I remember just because everything that took to get me there, I remember feeling like really bummed about
to get
that.
You there.
Yeah, all my friends, everybody pulled together and like supporting me to get there. And
I was thinking you were talking about the Seahawks. You're talking about the Bengals.
The Bengals.
I mean, my kids' teams, tough losses. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Don't cry when your team loses. Number three, crying for no reason at all. This is actually probably a reason to get some help. Like if you just find yourself crying, jokes aside, you should probably call somebody.
Can you cry on command without pulling a nose hair or anything like that?
No. You?
Maybe.
Pulling a nose hair?
Yeah, is that the trick?
Yeah. Usually that would make me sneeze. Like if I pull a nose hair, I feel like I'd sneeze.
Rip out a handful of nose hairs right now, Maura, and see if you don't water your tears.
I feel like I'd sneeze.
Really?
Yeah. You don't have any nose hairs to rip out, Maura?
Dilfer used to do it without blinking.
I don't have as much as you guys do.
Yeah.
Call the Gras. I got nose hairs, man. I trim those things because I got tons of them in there.
Brock, you should watch someday the kid from E.T. do the audition for that role. Where he cries on command. It is unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah, it's really
creepy.
Good. And then you hear Spielberg in the back. It's like, okay, you got the job.
Number
two. Can you
pull
a nose hair without closing your eyes? Mm-hmm. It's hard.
Number two, American Idol. If you're crying in American Idol, I think you really need like a...
You haven't watched it you lately, obviously.
Serious.
You have not watched it.
Yeah,
you've
for
not
good
seen
reason.
The
it's
the redemption
cheese.
Stories. You've not seen the family members. Yeah, you've not seen what so many have overcome in their lives.
That's a bad cry.
It's some of the best producers in the world putting those together. They do a really good job.
Yeah. You don't want to cry at that.
It's fully produced.
That's a bad idea.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And then number one, and this one's obvious and totally understandable, but the worst reason to cry, something's happened, a death in your life, sad events, people you know. I mean, that's obviously, you know, terrible. Let's get to the happy cries.
Oh, please.
The five best reasons to cry, Brock.
Yeah.
The five best reasons to cry. Number five, something in a movie or a TV show that is happy, that is... what's the word I'm looking for? Emotional, without necessarily being sad. You mentioned Frozen. To me, the end of Frozen, I cry because it's emotional and happy, not emotional and sad.
Yep.
It's the teamwork. It's the people working together, the love, all of that stuff.
Sure.
Redemption stuff.
Yeah, redemption.
Titans, it's Rudy. It's
sure.
Miracle. It's every movie I've watched now.
Yeah.
Seemingly.
Over the top.
Wildcats.
Brock, I know you cry every time Sylvester Stallone changes his grip and over the top.
Oh, hat turns around.
Text messages. You better have Nancy Kerrigan on this. Well, she gets a pass.
Oh.
Oh, that's not nice. Divish says Morris fingers could reach through your nose to pull out the hair from your head.
Ew, gross.
They're not that long, Ryan. Jeez. That's
they're that thin, too.
They are thin.
I told you guys, I was stretching my arms at the gym the other day, and I suddenly got self-conscious thinking about every time I raise them, and Sulk's like, oh my God.
And everybody's ducking to get around.
I was like, is
you?
Everyone looking at me?
Because you look like one of the inflatable people.
Well, you're tickling the ceiling.
Yeah, you knocked all the lights out. Every
ceiling, time. Yes.
Somebody says you can die from pulling nose hairs.
What?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
April Fool's Day. Let's just...
Number four, anything that involves your kid. Just having kids will make you cry at anything, and it's totally fine.
Yeah.
It just of course you're going to cry. You got kids. You can't help it. Like, I don't know how else to explain it. There's the time before you have kids where you don't cry a lot, and then the time after you have kids where just everything makes you cry. Yeah. Even American Idol, which is why I'm not crushing Brock. Even though I am.
We just got a text to 519, a good father-daughter moment commercial.
That'll make you every time, of course. God, you know what gets me is...
what gets you, Mike?
Molly's Game. When
sits her down on the bench.
Oh, I love that movie so much.
Great movie. Sorkin. Sorkin at his best. So good. Number three. Mention a sports loss as being a bad reason to cry, but a sports win?
Oof.
Especially when you're breaking, like, you know, years of heartache. When the Mariners finally win a World Series, there'll be tears.
Oh.
Right?
Tears.
Big time tears.
I mean, I think there were some tears when Cal broke the... playoff streak.
Yep.
I mean, when they win the World
That's
Series, will Ryan Divish cry?
What would it take to get Ryan Divish?
What does it take to get Ryan Divish to cry?
Yeah, what's that?
Larry Stone.
I think just let him sit in traffic on his way from Tacoma to Seattle. I think he cries like a baby every day. Tears of anger. Frustration. Number two, I went back and forth here with one and two. Number two, I'm gonna say that it has to be this. Laughing so hard you cry.
Oh,
I love it, man. Yeah. I love laughing so hard you cry. Yep. Something is just so funny you cannot contain yourself, and eventually you just can't stop.
Happened to me on this
show
before.
No doubt.
I think probably from Brock unintentionally saying something.
What? What'd I do now?
Is it the one that you that Salk emailed about?
Oh, no.
Maura and her issues?
I don't have an issue with that, Barnes. I take...
I mean, we have audio of you saying it.
Are you? No way.
Maura was struggling to write Michael Penix's name over the weekend, unfortunately.
Yep.
Kind of like G struggling to say the word peanuts last week.
Do you want me to play it, bro?
G was telling us about how he had a moment
with
his
peanuts. Yeah, let me actually hear it. I don't remember saying it, but let me hear it if I did.
What makes Michael Penix?
See, it's still penis.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
It's still penis. It's not.
Moving on.
Yes.
That's number two.
It's going to make me laugh so hard with Ryan.
I'll stand by what I said.
Number one, obviously, is a major life event. Birth of your kids, getting married, all those things that are, you know, really great moments. Those will make you cry, and that's got to be number one. Yeah. Secretly, I wanted to put laughing so hard ahead of it, but I felt like... That would make me a bad person.
Yeah, so. Well, we could admit it's okay to cry whenever you want, Brock. It's okay.
Thanks.
Except at American Idol.
Gosh, how was it April Fool's and we didn't play the Paisley Bester Only?
Yeah, there's no need.
How is that possible?
We're good.
Golly, what a fail.
Everybody else knew Mike. Sarah McLachlan commercials. That's a good reason to cry. Yep. Thank you. Anything involving
a really,
pets.
Really, really good national anthem will get me like a, ooh.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Yeah, I don't know what, what
heck
it is.
Yes.
Oh, Canada?
No, probably not that.
No.
Best national anthem.
Just makes me think of my grandpa. Gets me a good, ooh.
Yep. Yep.
Just objectively.
Bears go up.
Objectively great anthem.
I believe it.
Do you know how great it was to hang with a four-star general? I got to do that over the weekend.
Who was that?
So cool. General Rainey was down there. The U.S. Army, a big supporter of the UFL. Yep.
That's kind
of
cool.
It was so cool. He gave me one of his coins, too.
That's really cool.
He has a coin?
Yeah.
Yes. He's got his own. Yeah, it is really,
really
cool. So, yep. That almost made me cry, but I didn't.
That's cool.
I'm glad you were able to contain yourself.
Yes.
I'm sure the general would have appreciated that.
Yeah. Are you going to cry tonight, depending on who wins the game?
No.
What, the girls?
Oh, no. They're going to be crying.
There's going to be tears tonight?
So don't film them either.
When
okay,
Iowa
don't
loses,
be that
there's going to be tears in my house, I'm just telling you. Yeah. There's one 9, almost 10-year-old that I can already feel it coming right now at 9:54. All right, we got to go. We'll pave the way for Bump and Stacy, who are coming in next, but we'll be back tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Sounds cool like show. We're going to allow a Belmont Hill grad. Mm-hmm. Against my better judgment, Field Yates at 7:30. Jeff Passan at 8:30 tomorrow. A lot more to come. Catch you guys at 6. Till then, the hay.
Barn.
See everybody.
Get to the chopper!
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.